Impressive. If we could take our seats, we're gonna get started. We're going to get started, at our last hearing, we had one of the neighborhood coalitions ask us a question about extension of time, and I'm going to allow Eric to start with that, and then we'll have a general discussion of what we heard today.
Okay. Thanks, Andre. Just an overview, a reminder of our sequencing here. This is the second of the three public hearings scheduled on the Portland plan. The next hearing is going to be at the 1900 building downtown. We're going to skip next week for the holiday, but then the week after on the 29th. Originally, the deadline for public comments was at that third hearing, and based on testimony at the last hearing, we have decided to extend the time frame through December 28th for written comments. So there will be, there's still, we're closing the oral testimony at the end of the next hearing, but there's an extended written comment period deadline until December 28th. On December 13th, we're still having a work session to discuss your thoughts to date and start down the direction of formulating your thoughts. But obviously, we can't conclude that process until after the written record is closed. And so we're going to have another work session in early January to wrap that process up. And so your final action is now mapped to that early January hearing.
Thank you, Eric.
I also wanted to just remind you and point out, we distributed in your packet a list of the additional written testimony we received, and I want to just pick on Commissioner Smith here. He provided a good example that each of you is also allowed to submit your more detailed line-by-line comments in written form in this way, and that may, if we all do that, that may save us some commission time. Just allowing you to focus your discussion on the bigger issues while you can still get your individual suggestions down on paper that way.
So Chris is our example. comments from today? Mike?
I did not count the number of times I heard the word park, but I know there were numerous references to the importance of parks. Brian in particular had, I think, a great anecdote of the power of citizens being engaged in creating a park in the neighborhood. So we have discussed numerous times during this process our desire to see the budget process line up with the Portland plan to implement the sorts of things we're talking about. So I would just encourage Brian and others who've had input regarding the importance of parks as an essential urban service to follow through with some written comments and give us the opportunity to make sure we're tracking the budget process as well, or having an influence on it, or as I think Brian put it, politicking.
For the second time in two hearings, we've heard a lot of important testimony from young people. And I think that's very significant. They weren't necessarily talking about exclusion, they were talking about inclusion. And I encourage us to go back and take some real hard looks at where the future of Portland lies with the energy and the enthusiasm these people brought forward. They mentioned groups they were working with and individuals they represent, and including that young man from Park Rose, Karen, who's an outstanding young guy. So that was really gratifying. And then to a lesser degree, speaking for my constituency, a conversation about including the aging population, folks that are going to be here over 65 and live on into the next five centuries, we hope. So I read the testimony of Jay Bloom. I don't know that all of you did. Jay wrote a pretty extensive review of what he thought was either lacking or should be included in the plan, and I encourage us to ask Jay to come before us and share those thoughts in person, and maybe to encourage some other folks that represent, I hate to say the aging population, the successfully negotiating the health issues population, that I think is critical. Both constituencies contribute to the great livability of the city and will continue for years to come. So it was great to hear both those groups represented.
I wrote a few things down. I think that the testimony here tonight was fantastic. I want to kind of congratulate the neighborhood and everybody who came out, and I know a lot of people didn't testify, but it was very good to see people in the audience supporting everybody who came to testify. I wrote down five comments that I think that we as commissioners should discuss. The first one we don't really need to discuss. I think the students were fabulous. I think that they were very, very good and pointed on the points that they made. And I kept thinking, how can we utilize them for their future? It is their future. How could we use, and that's something we should think about as commissioners. How could we use them? Some of them are on a council. How could we use them to come to meetings, to kind of get them involved and educated through the process? That's something that we can kind of think about. But the things I thought about was the Sandy Boulevard economic zoning. And I talked to Susan on the break, and that's definitely going to be something that we want to definitely encourage economic development on the strip. That's kind of crazy not to. To make sure that low-income housing is not continued to be distributed in East County. I mean, we keep getting that message at every meeting. And the schools, the equitable distribution of resources to East County, since we have so many families moving to this part of town. And, you know, Howard's Point, the elderly housing, that's going to be an issue that's really going to be, we're going to be facing. My concern, though, as a commission, is how do we work with the schools to get equitable distribution of resources to East County? I mean, we can encourage, we can write a letter, but that's something that we're going to be strategic on how we actually implement. So those are my only points.
So I noted a few things I wanted to highlight. First, I thought that Dave Hampson's testimony about how we fund transportation improvements points to a big challenge for the city. You know, we're seeing a big budget hole for PBOT in the next couple of years, basically because people aren't driving as much. And you know, some of that is people aren't driving as much because all economic activity is down, and that's bad news. But some of it is because of what we're trying to do to encourage people to use other modes is working, and that's good news. So I mean, it's good news that leads to bad news. And you know, if we get anywhere near the climate action plan goals for how little we want people to drive, you know, we will basically wipe out our transportation funding source. So I think Dave points out very correctly that this plan can't succeed unless we identify a different way to fund transportation infrastructure in the city. So I think we all need to keep that in mind, and maybe the plan needs to speak to it, because it's, you know, not just enough to say, you know, the city budget needs to be driven by these goals. I mean, we're going to have to transform some revenue streams to make this happen. I thought that several of the comments on emergency planning were very well taken. You know, the LEAP stuff is, you know, in our planning horizon. We've been briefed on it a number of occasions, but I think it does need to show up in the plan. You know, resilience is a big theme of the underlying theme of this plan, and emergency planning is clearly part of that. I thought the comments on schools and community centers as, you know, basically places that should stay operating in an emergency by having, you know, distributed infrastructure systems were very smart, and we ought to think about incorporating that. There was also a little bit of discussion of air quality, you know, the fuel tanks in Linton area and kind of their impact on air quality. You know, the plan is kind of notably silent on air quality. I actually did a quick search on my tablet to see how many times the words come up in the plan. And, you know, we talk about the fact that tree canopy helps air quality, and we talk about as we plan for growth, we need to look at making sure that air quality burdens are equitably distributed, but we don't really talk about what is the quality of our air today and what should we be doing to improve it. And that's kind of interesting given how much language we spend on watershed quality. You know, we just kind of gloss over air quality. Now, I know that a large part of the responsibility for regulating air quality falls on our state and federal partners. The city of Portland has little or no direct regulatory authority, but you know, this plan is intended to extend to all our partners. So I think it, you know, under the banner of Healthy Connected City, I don't see how we can avoid talking about air quality and things like the fact that we have, you know, really an unacceptably high level of benzene in our air. I think we need to take that on a little bit. And let's see, I had one more. Howard has already talked a little bit about the aging in place issues, the PSU Institute work that's been done in that area, and I think we can stand to incorporate more of that. I thought Carla made the point very eloquently about the need for accessible housing, and Carla was actually kind enough to educate me in advance a little bit on this topic, and got me to appreciate that it's a little bit different than what we usually talk about at this commission, because, you know, in the zoning code we kind of regulate the outside form of buildings. We don't get into the what happens inside buildings. That's more of a building code issue. But whether, you know, a house or an apartment or a condo is a suitable place for somebody who is differently able to live is an equity issue. We have some responsibility to make sure that the building stock within the city supports neighborhood choice for people with certain disabilities. So maybe that's something where we need to engage, you know, our partner Bureau and Bureau of Development Services to look at building code issues that would help us build out that housing stock over time so that we have greater choice afforded to people. And I think that's it for now. Thanks.
Thanks. Karen?
I think I really agree with Irma tonight. I think that the testimony and the support was really rich tonight, and what I really appreciated about this evening's testimony was the specificity. That was something we had talked about at our last hearing, I think, you know, which was also an excellent hearing, but we are hearing much more specificity tonight, and I hope that when we collect all of the testimony and look at the page numbers and look at the connections people are asking for, that we do this very, very thoughtfully and take our time to really consider these very specific suggestions. I think we'd have to be deaf to not hear the youth voice at these hearings. They're really taking their time to develop what I think one of the students said was meaningful, relevant testimony. I think that's fantastic, and so it behooves us, I believe, as people who are standing up for our city, to include some kind of youth voice in our bureaus as advisors, and perhaps even on this commission. That was an idea that our colleague Don had discussed with me after the meeting last week. Perhaps they can't vote, maybe they can, but students have often been on school boards. They act as advisors, and I think that that's a very clever thing for us to do, to listen to them. Well, someday they will. And someday they will. There are a number of people also, I think, to thank this evening, and I hope we never forget to thank people that do special things. I absolutely loved seeing my comrades from the East Portland Action Plan. I'm an original EPAPper, proudly. Yeah, that was loud. And that's what we call ourselves. And our staff from the city are Laura Wintergreen and Chris Scarzello, who's back there. And we had Katie Larcel and David and our friend Brian, who's back from his gigantic bike trip, and Colleen, of course, and several others that have left. But we work very hard in the East Portland Action Plan to talk to the city about a very specific plan, and I was delighted to see people here talking about that work and being so passionate. I'd also like to thank the city for hiring Barney and Worth to be the consultants to the East Portland schools. It's not often maybe that a city decides that they're going to hire a liaison to articulate from the Portland plan to the school districts out here. We don't have lobbyists. I don't have a communications person in my district, I'm it. And so to be able to have Helen Ying, who is also a candidate for Metro District 5, and the former assistant principal of this school, who just retired, to have people like that to work with the East County superintendents and produce a document, which I will be sharing with my school board, about the Portland plan, is invaluable to us. And I just really thank the city. So I have a question for the team, and here's my question. There were a lot of comments about emergency planning, and I was kind of poking Leilani and saying, now is the emergency planning part of the Portland plan? Because there's these giant plans that we have seen. I think that one of them is called LEAP. Isn't it Local Emergency Action Planning? Yeah, and Michelle serves on that, and we've heard great reports in finite detail about bridges and roads and oil refineries, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. So my question to the commission is, and maybe to Susan, is that what the Portland plan was meant to talk about, or is that meant to be a separate plan? Those are my comments. Thank you.
I think the quick answer is that, as we heard, remember when we were in this building, now I think it was almost 2 years ago, and at that time, everything was on the table in terms of what could be in the Portland plan. The Portland plan is not a land use plan. You know, it's much more than just a land use plan. So I think definitely the key ideals and the key goals of the LEAP plan potentially could be a strong component of the Portland plan. Just like several other transportation plans, climate action plan, you know, other plans of the city are connected to the Portland plan.
Michelle?
In terms of the LEAP plan, it's a local energy assurance plan. It sort of goes back to that idea that if we had a big earthquake or some big event and we lost energy, what would we do if we can't immediately restore service? And so obviously you have issues about whether or not the hospitals are able to function and how you prioritize the energy that you do have, how the state's going to allocate it. And so a big part of the discussion is how you make these resilient communities. How do you make it so they can function until things get back to normal? So there's a very nice connection with the Portland plan in terms of if you have local food, people can get to things. If you have sidewalks or bike paths, there are alternatives to a car. If you have schools that you have provided generators for and that have seismic upgrades, that can be a place people go. So those discussions are going on and that's continuing. So I would say the connections that I heard last week were just very natural, and I don't think the Portland plan ultimately, you know, covers everything for emergency planning, but it helps put us in a better position when something happens. A couple of comments I had based on what we heard tonight. One of the students talked about whether or not using the graduation rate or on-time graduation rate was the right metric. And that's something that I've questioned as well. So I hope to see staff take a look at that. You know, I know there are obvious reasons for picking that, but I don't know if it's the right metric or if it should be the only one. If we're looking for self-sufficiency by 25, maybe there's something else we should be looking at. I mean, looking at the slides we had at the beginning, it wasn't quite clear to me what all of them meant. I think there was a statistic, something like 53% graduate on time and 23% drop out. And I don't know what happens to the percent that's left over. If you drop out, does that mean you don't get a GED? Yeah, I didn't understand what that meant. So if we could get some clarification on that point. You know, the student talked about issues for immigrants and how that can possibly shift your time frame. Now, just also, we've heard discussions about the ability of the existing educational system to meet everyone's needs. And I just don't know if on time is the only thing we should be looking at. In terms of other testimony we heard about the need for community centers in the neighborhoods, providing that local connection, and that's also consistent with LEAP, having some place to go. One of the things that came up in the last discussion for LEAP was the importance of just knowing your neighbors. And if something happens, you're not just on your own, you can go next door and you've actually talked to the person before. That communication plan, and there was also discussion of, you know, this could be a role for the post office, that they actually know who the older people are who might need assistance in that sort of environment, sort of situation. So I agree with that need for community centers. I live in an area that doesn't have any community centers, and just my observation, having had kids in this city and where we went for resources, it reminds me of the importance for good connections to the central city as another resource for these community gathering areas. There was an article in the paper, I think on Sunday or Saturday, talking about a place where kids congregate in the city. At the Portland Boathouse, there's a rowing club called Rose City Rowing that takes kids from all over the city, provides scholarships to people that can't afford the regular rates. And having had a kid participate in that program, can talk about, one, they're getting a great exercise in terms of that health benefit, but just the work ethic and good decision making is tremendous out of that program. So to the extent we have connections for people to either take TriMet and access those sort of resources, or know their neighbors and be able to carpool and access those sorts of resources, I think there's a very significant role for these places that bring people from the different neighborhoods together. And when we're asking people to not just think of yourself and recognize that we're all in this together, the more people know each other, the more willing they are to share resources. So those were my comments.
Don?
Some general comments. I think it's so important that our meeting's here, that it's physically here. I think, and I'd like to thank Superintendent Gray for hosting us at Park Rose High School. And I love this room with the flags from around the world. It's terrific. Just gives me a positive feeling. So thank you. You know, some interesting statistics tonight. 28% of our population kind of lives out here in the city of Portland, and 25% of them are young, or a lot younger than we are. And so the youth voice was just really amplified and a key thing. I think, you know, the undercurrent that I've heard through the years on Planning Commission is that the kind of outer east side is a stepchild of Portland. They had that attitude. They felt that way. And I think it's these kind of measures that help mend that. And that's important. And I think the Portland plan, when I think of equity in that plan, it's really that it's treating the whole city fairly. And I think the plan is off to a great start towards doing that. And I think my hope is that it can mend not just the physical things in the city, but some of these social concerns that have been out there too about neglect in certain districts of our city. This is where the affordable family housing is out here. In reality, it's where it is. Schools are full. All the youth programs are full. The parks are taxed and underbuilt. You know, they're stressed. So it's really a very important point of emphasis in the plan. And as I look ahead on the plan itself and think about the hubs that have been identified, I think these outer east side hubs, obviously one size doesn't fit all for the hubs, but they need a special focus that might incorporate parks, not just physical parks, which are important for the ego and for the vitality of a neighborhood, but also park and recreation programs. Because a lot of times, it's not just the physical facility of having a park, it's the youth programs and the recreation programs that go along with it that are key, that are very important. So those are my comments. I think it's great being out here, and I look forward to doing it again. Thanks.
Other comments? Gary?
Yes, there were a few areas that I found particularly valuable tonight. First of all, the mention of emergency planning, and In particular, does the Portland plan really embrace the concept of resilience? Is our city resilient? And I think so. As I continue to review the plan and re-review it, that's one of the things I'll be looking for. Secondly, Carla's comments on aging and what the potentially profound impacts that has for our city and for the plan, I think, were really important. And lastly, Alan's comments on language really struck me, and this idea that should we shift towards more specific language, and the intriguing idea that that perhaps propels us forward into a meaningful dialogue around some of the issues of diversity. So I was intrigued by that, and I'm waiting for more comments that are forthcoming.
Jill.
Okay, it's on. It's covered with some tape, so I couldn't see the light. I just wanted to, commend the staff. This came up, I think, last time as well, but I just wanted to reiterate it because I have to say in the last, I think I've been on Planning Commission for 4 or 5 years, and, you know, every major plan that came out, we would always get comments about not engaging the community enough. You know, we didn't go here, we didn't reach out enough here, we weren't successful, in really engaging different segments of the community, and we haven't heard that at all, you know, and at least not in these first couple of hearings or any of the written testimony, which obviously means, I think, speaks volumes to the work that was done and what was accomplished in terms of really coming up with a strategy to engage the community and diverse sectors of the community that must have worked. And so I just wanted to sort of put that out there, because that's, you know, we always focus on the things people bring to us that are issues, because when they're not issues, nobody brings them to us. So good job.
What?
Just one point of clarification. When we talk about resilience, there's resilience of our communities and there's resilience of the ecological systems that surround us and that we live in. So I just want to point out that's what I was getting at earlier with regard to adaptation, that there will be change to those systems beyond our communities that definitely need to be very explicitly addressed in the plan as well.
Anybody else? First, I'd like to just thank Karen. Thank you for offering up Park Rose, and it's a great facility, and I think we've all enjoyed the comments today, and just thank you again. The kids you brought forward were just great, so thanks. My kind of take on this is this plan is about, and we've heard a lot that it's plan of people, and what struck me today was the people that talked, and they didn't talk. I mean, we talked about parks and how parks and schools and stuff, but they really talked about people and how people are a place out here and they need to be involved. They need to be, whether it's seniors, that 25% at the end of this plan are gonna be seniors in Portland, we needed to have housing for them, people with disabilities, the youth. Those were all people. We didn't really talk about places. And I think it's significant that we need to incorporate specifics about the people, about the things they do that are actually get to places, about, yeah, we have small business on Sandy and we need to think about that, but it really is about people and entrepreneurs and how do they make a living in this neighborhood out here. And that to me just struck me as kind of living up to the plan and saying, I think we've got a lot right here. We probably need to get some more specifics about how do we make people successful in their neighborhoods, in these places, being neighborhoods and hubs. But the people are kind of the core here, and I believe we're hearing that today. Anybody else? I'll get with that. that, I think we're done. The next meeting will be in downtown city of Portland, 1900 Southwest 5th? 4th, on the second floor, and on the 29th.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, and have a good holiday.
You